My office has two doors. One is the main door off the hall, and then there's another back door, which is at times useful. But on that door, by the coffee and donuts, I've got all these comic strips taped up there. I've started with just a couple, and they've been fruitful and multiplied over 8 years. And my favorite one is the one that I put up there first, and it refers to this gospel, actually. The multiplication of the loaves and fishes, and there's a couple that just received communion. I don't know if they're Catholic because they had the communion at their seat, so must have been Episcopalians. But anyway, they have the communion in their hands, and the man says to the woman, he says, well, no wonder he multiplied the loaves and the fishes. Look at the portion size. Anyway, okay. I know it's a bit off the wall, but it was on the wall also. Anyway, I think that's funny. The Lord would think that was funny. You don't think so? So this gospel is so rich. We hear it so often. And yet there's all kinds of insights. Sometimes we think we know something, so we don't hear. There's always a new depth to Scripture. If you've heard a gospel a lot of times, ask God to show you something new. For example, in John, Jesus is the new Moses. He goes up the mountain and then feeds the manna. We're going to hear more about that next week. Jesus this is a continuation of last week's gospel, which began in Matthew. Now we're in John, but it sounds like it's the same story. Almost every element coincides. Jesus went across the lake to be alone. He finds a huge crowd there. The disciples go off, and Jesus teaches them long into the evening. He talks and talks. He felt sorry for them. They were sheep without a shepherd. And so finally, the disciples come over to him and say, get rid of them. It's late. They have to go eat. In other words, we want to get some rest. You know, let's get them out of here. You know, and Jesus, he says to Philip, he says, you give them something to eat yourself. Now, Jesus knew what he was going to do, it says in the gospel. Jesus had set them up. You get the impression he deliberately talked too long so that they would be in an impossible situation. He knew how he was going to get out of this, but the disciples had no idea, and they watch it get later and later. And Philip says something to the effect that, you know, even if we went to Safeway and Albertsons, we wouldn't have enough food for all these people, you know, that kind of thing. And Jesus says, you know, Andrew comes up then, he's listening, and he says, well, so that's the wrong answer Philip gives. But Andrew begins with the right answer. He says, well, here's a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He makes a little leap of faith, but then he thinks about it, but what he's implying, and he says, but what is that for all these people? He pulls back. But Jesus has elicited a little bit of faith. He's pulling faith out of them by putting them in a situation that is beyond their abilities. This is how Jesus operates in our lives as well. So Jesus then, and John says, he's testing them. Why is he testing them? I think this is a critical point because we get tested every day. God tests us. We pray in there, our Father, do not lead us not into temptation. That's more correctly translated. Do not put us to the test, or do not put us to the final test. Our life is one big test. We don't even realize we're in the middle of one, the outcome of which determines the entire eternal future. Oh my gosh, if we knew what this was, one big SAT test, we'd probably pay more attention, don't you think? And so why is Jesus testing them? A test is, when a teacher gives you a test, it means that hopefully they're judging where you're at in the class to give you your marks, to put you in what grade you're going to get. And Jesus doesn't need to do that. He already knows where his disciples are at. Not too good yet, you know. And then another reason the teacher might give a test would be to keep them alert so that they will be listening, because they don't know what they're going to get tested on or when, a pop quiz type thing. But this is not the sense we get here either. Philip is being tested, first of all, so Philip and Andrew and the others will know where they stand. Jesus knows, but we don't. The test is to encourage Philip or to show him where he has yet to grow. It also, in the scriptures, determines the place of the apostles. Peter is made the head of the apostles after he passes the test. Who do you think I am? It's a sudden test, and his right answer pulled him right to the front. And there he stayed forever. We too are being ranked for the next world by our response to the trials and faith challenges of everyday life. First, we ourselves, by our faith, are deciding if I'm going to heaven, hell, or purgatory. But beyond that, what is my rank in heaven? Christ makes it clear in almost every gospel that this is what's at stake. We just don't see it. And this is part of the sense here. And Andrew gets there before Philip does. So Philip comes along and says, well, here's these 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus takes these offerings. Notice Scripture doesn't say whether he multiplies the fish. I'll leave that up to you. They collected 12 wicker baskets, but the fish was all gone. Maybe the fish tasted better than the bread. I don't know. But Jesus uses what he's given. He didn't need this boy's food, but he wanted the disciples and someone to contribute something. He multiplied what they had, but he let them make an offering of themselves first. Somebody had to give up their bread and fish, this food that he was carrying with him for his own meal, in which many did not have enough. He had a wealth of food there. This boy gave it up. So then Jesus used that. So when we come to God, we ask for a miracle or an answer to a prayer. Not always, but often God will ask us to contribute something ourselves. In other words, okay, Lord, the Lord says, I'm going to give you what you want, but I'm waiting for that first step of faith from you. And then I'm going to fill in the rest. We don't have enough. All we've got is 5 loaves and 2 fish. But he does, for our human dignity, this is what he asks. It's the same with any child, you know. We want them to begin doing something before we give them what they want. And this is the way God is. It's the way he does things. And once we see this, it helps us understand why what he's waiting for. Everything in life is for faith. He didn't promise us that he would make us happy in this world or healthy all the time or wealthy or that we'd get what we want or everyone would like us. He didn't promise us that we'd even have employment all the time. But he said, I'm preparing you for the next world. That's what everything is about. And this is what we see in these Gospels. And then finally, Jesus I forgot what I was going to say. Oh my gosh. I'm having a senior moment. Yes, I am. They don't realize the miracle has occurred until they start collecting the fragments at the end. What does that tell us? That oftentimes God's miracles and answers to our prayers are not really obvious till we're looking in the mirror as we look back at our lives. God is constantly at work in our lives, and he hides it really well. The question I had when I read this gospel, and what I never ever thought about before, as often as I preached on it and read it and heard it, is when did this miracle occur? If they're feeding 5,000 people, they couldn't possibly have hauled all those bags of bread around. They all look like Santa Claus, you know. Obviously, Jesus was multiplying it as he's pulling it out of this boy's basket. A basket was a thing you put around your neck and would have a little pouch on the side here. And he's pulling this fish out and bread and giving it to the disciples. They're putting it in their baskets and going off and feeding people. Most likely, the disciples themselves, it was multiplying in their baskets as they're going out. Not even aware that they didn't have to go back for refills. They're just going along and suddenly realizing, this is not coming to an end. It's just coming out. And the people realized it later as they saw it being pulled up. So we see that God then often does things in a hidden way. And why does he do this? Again, to increase our faith. He doesn't make his presence really obvious unless we're novices in the spiritual life and need a lot of encouragement. But as we grow in our walk with Christ, he's going to start hiding things in the bag a little bit. He's still at work, but we can't see it as easily. And that's, we will see it when we look at the effects of his presence. Jesus was here. Jesus was here multiplying the loaves and fishes. So we often have these loaves and fishes moments in our lives where God tests us. I had a test, in fact, finish with this story. I was doing my Bible study on Tuesday. I have an iPad, and the iPad 3's got a really cool feature. You can dictate into it, and it types it out, you know. And I found that that's a lot faster than writing notes, about five times faster. But I got there, and I'm out in the sun, and I thought to myself, how cool is this, you know? But what I should have said was, how hot is this? Because the sun was right on the thing, and it overheated. Big yellow triangle came on it that said, warning, now shutting off. I lost an hour's worth of work. And it had an autosave, but it all disappeared. And when it came back on, guess what I said? I'm not telling you. No, I said, because I was working on this, I said, this is a test. I'm determined to grow this time. And I did. And you see, the whole point of that, in my opinion, the notes were not important. It's, are you growing in patience now? Or must you keep having this over and over again? And I, you know what? I did grow in patience. And this is what it's all about. So God, in these loaves and fishes moments, he tests us, he feeds us, he multiplies the graces in our lives. He also asks us to contribute our own loaves and fishes to the pot. In all these things, he wishes only to increase our faith and prepare us for the world to come.